Well, I'm pretty much exhausted talking about lemons, so I'm going to talk to you about the first reading that we heard from the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph. This is really the tail end of this story of Joseph. So on Thursday night, I shouldn't even say what night I thought it was. Clearly, sometime this week, my wife and I went to a concert at the Lutheran Church in Cochrane. Thank you very much. Anybody feel free to correct me at any time during the course of this homily. We went to a small concert. It was pretty full at the little Lutheran church in Cochrane. And after it was over, a woman came up to me, maybe just a little bit older than me. And she came up to me and she said to me, "Greg, do you remember me?" And I'm going, this happens a lot, especially if you live in a smaller community. You see people all the time and you know them, but you don't know where you know them from. And I'm going, but I looked at her and I said to her, I'm tired, so I'm not thinking that clearly, but I said to her, I remember you. Because I did remember her. I remembered who she was as a person. I couldn't remember the context. And then she said to me, you know, and this has happened in my life and that's happened in my life. I'm going, okay, I think I must have known you briefly when there was this kind of significant event that had happened in your life. So if we can do that, we can think of people, maybe we've met even briefly and sort of remember them vaguely. This story about Joseph and his brothers is pretty unrealistic, right? Are you telling me, or you're not telling me, but is this story telling us that these 10 brothers, so there's Joseph and his brothers that are there, so it's 11, right? You're telling me that these 11 brothers, even though it's been years, and even though they sold their brother into slavery, as you had heard, thinking they would never see him again, and even though he is older now, and even though he is clean shaven like an Egyptian, and even though he's dressed in Egyptian clothing, and even though he's pretending that he doesn't understand their language, Hebrew, that even with all that, that the brothers who had been with him through his entire childhood and adolescence, when they look at him, that in the back of their head, they're not going to say somewhere, "You kind of remind me of somebody." It's not very realistic, even if he's dressed like an Egyptian, with the wig, no shirt on, cotton kilt, smelling a perfume, not speaking Hebrew. Does it reasonably strike any of us realistic that one of them isn't going to say somewhere, "I know you from somewhere"? Even while, and especially while, as you heard this part, they are tearing themselves to shreds out of guilt for what they had done to their missing brother Joseph, who they had sold into slavery decades before. Again, it just doesn't seem very realistic. So the question is, how is it possible that they don't recognize him, their own brother? And the answer is, because he's not their brother anymore. Because Joseph, after having been almost killed, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, has become an Egyptian. It doesn't go into great detail, it doesn't tell us, but it does show us. He's become a favorite of Pharaoh, he's become his prime minister, and Pharaoh is a god to the Egyptians. He's married the daughter of an Egyptian priest, so it kind of suggests without saying that he's probably worshiping the Egyptian gods. He also, as far as we know, never expected to see another Hebrew, let alone his family, again in his entire life. So, in a sense, the story is telling us the reason they don't recognize him is because the effect of their sin, which is the sin of envy and jealousy, which caused them to sell them into slavery, has been so destructive that he is no longer recognizable to them. That's how deep the rift is, and that Joseph has become a different person. He's become an Egyptian. So, here's the problem. Think about this. This is what the Bible tells us about sin, and it's hard maybe to even comprehend. But sin, in this case is jealousy and envy, not only fragments us from each other, but it can make us almost unrecognizable to each other if the sin is deep and long enough, and as in Joseph's case, almost even unrecognizable to ourselves. That's how powerful families and communities are, right? We become even unrecognizable to ourselves. So here's the tension in this story, and it's this. This is the same story that we have been tracing since the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. It's this story of Abraham. And they have been given something very particular, and that is they have been given the promise. And the promise is you will be a blessing to the world. So yes, I've chosen Abraham, I've chosen his descendants, but it's not just for their sake, it's so the entire world can be healed. And it rests with this one particular family, which has now been brought to such a low point that the promise itself is endangered. This is the point it's been brought to in this particular scene. Joseph is a stranger, his brother are strangers, brothers are tearing each other apart, Joseph is unrecognizable. So how can this story possibly go forward? How is it possible for God's plan for this promise to be carried forward? The answer is, who's the hero of this story? Joseph? Well, not really. The hero of this story is kind of Judah, his brother Judah, the very one who insisted they sell him into slavery. At this point, Judah, the brothers are facing this angry Egyptian who they don't recognize. And they're saying, give me your youngest brother if you're going to ever eat again. Just to summarize, if you ever want to eat again, give me this youngest brother, which will break their father's heart. And Judah, who is kind of the villain of the piece, stands up and he says, take me. Take me. I'll be your slave. And the great thing about the lectionary is we get the tail end of the stories, but we don't see what happens before it. And what happens before this, as soon as Joseph hears, take me, he has to leave the room. He weeps, people can hear him weeping. He comes back into the room, and it's at that point that he says to his brothers in Hebrew, I'm your brother Joseph. It's not only like that he's just reconciled to them, it's in a way that he becomes himself again. Judah's act of self-sacrifice allows, kind of open something up in him where he knows he can trust them and he knows he can forgive them. And guess who is Jesus' ancestor? Is it Joseph? It's Judah. And so what we see here is the Holy Spirit has inserted a little picture for us of the Lion of Judah, Jesus, who says to us, through my giving of myself in deepest self-serving love, you who are not able to forgive each other, or sometimes even recognize each other or recognize yourselves, will be given yourself back again. And your relationship with others will be given back again. Because as Joseph did to the brothers, he says, now you can come close to me. So what can we learn from this? First of all, we can learn, as the story says, sin fragments us, especially these are the sins of envy and jealousy, as we saw at the beginning of this story. They fragment us, they fragment families, they fragment communities, they turn us against each other, they make us bitter, as I was saying to the kids. And we become strangers even to ourselves. It can also teach us that this is never the end. Even when it seems impossible, the self-sacrifice of Jesus, who says, take me for your sins, heals our hearts, gives us ourselves back again, and has the potential to give us back each other again. It gives us the ability to forgive, to be restored to ourselves, and to be restored to each other, and to recognize each other again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you came among us as a human being. You know every part of what it means to be human. You know our hurts. You know our angers. You understand violence. You understand all the things that corrupt and destroy human nature. But through your self-sacrificing love, you have not left us to yourself, but offered us healing and forgiveness. May we accept your healing and forgiveness, Lord, so that we can become the people you intend us to be. And by your grace, as you will, make us instruments of your peace, so that where there is anger, there may be forgiveness. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.